All right, we're recording here. So watch your language. Okay. Give everyone, my name is Jack. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater.
Good morning.
This is your voice of recovery meeting. And what I suggest you do, we'll start with serenity prayer. After that, I'm going to pass around the voice of recovery book. Pick your birthday. Let's start that book. Pick your birthday. Read and share on that. I mean, if we have more time, we can select another page of your choosing and, we can share on that. So we're here until 9:05.
Small group, can we all share?
Huh?
It's a small group, can we all share?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, grant
me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Okay. Glasses. All right. I'm going to share on my birthday. My birthday is May 19th.
Okay.
So I'll do indecision is like the stepchild. If he doesn't want to wash his hand, he's cold dirty. If he does, he's wasting the water. This question and paragraphs that follow remind me that I'm not the only person who has problems with indecision. I find strength in allowing myself to accept the reality of human nature. Before joining Overeaters Anonymous, I had to be perfect and instantly know the right answer to every question. A lesson I fought hard against myself to learn is to take a deep breath, relax, silently recite the serenity prayer, and then decide. I still have to make decisions every moment. Some I think through, some I don't, and some create anxiety. The difference is that I'm not alone. Being a compulsive overeater and trying to be a perfectionist, I always want to get it right. I've always hated having to do things twice. I want to know exactly what's expected of me so I can do it perfectly the first time. Many times, I'll be in a conversation with someone, will say something, I have to make a decision, and I don't know what to do. And I'll react instead of acting. But I've learned sometimes that I don't have to have a comeback right at that very instant. I can stay now, and I'll think about it. Or I'll have to let you know. It's taken me quite a while to get to that point, but it's brought about a lot of serenity, because what I feel of, I have to get that instinct instantaneously. That's when I get that irritated feeling. I don't know what to do. I've learned to just take it easy as that. I'm sorry I can't give you an answer right now. So.
Thank you for sharing. I'm Adele, a grateful recovering co-reader. And I was married for 26 years to an attorney who goes to law school, learns how to be adversarial, and from day one, that was our marriage. And he knew how to argue. He knew how to make his point. I'm all emotion. So when we get into a discussion, which was rare, I really needed to call it an argument, he always made more sense than I did. It was very rare that I could really win. And so what I did, because I felt that, oh no, I have to give an answer right now, my back would be against the wall, and my way to deal with it was to start crying, and walking out of the room, and literally this went on for 26 years. And despite all the therapy I had, it never changed. When I came into OA, one of the most, someone said something to me, and it's so simple, it's ridiculous. No is a complete sentence. I always defended myself about everything. I felt I had to give reasons that I wanted this or wanted that. So no is a complete sentence. And the other thing is, I don't have to give an answer right then and there. And I used to argue with my kids because, this is all my kids saw, so they ended up arguing with me the same way. And as soon as I got hysterical, they would just dismiss me. Oh, mom's, having a tantrum again. Now, I never have tantrums in front of them. I may feel bad or something, but I don't yell, I don't scream. I state what I want after I've decided what I want. And now the funny thing is, the tables have reversed, and they're the ones who yell and scream. And they lose their minds because I stay calm. So, not that that's a good thing. I don't mean I'm happy because I have the upper hand. I just mean that I do not make it worse. You know, I stay calm. I may not have the right answer at the time. I call up my sponsor. I call up, you know, maybe somebody else, a couple people from OA, and I talk it out. And if I remember, I pray. Say the serenity prayer and do a resentment prayer and try to contact my higher power. And that makes all the difference in the world. I am still working on it, but it is definitely making amazing changes in my relationships. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sharon.
Anybody else want to share on May 19th? Maybe you want to read your birthday?
October 17th.
Can I just say one thing? What I'm going to do is let the read, because some of these are long, so I'll let whoever reads read theirs, and then I'll start in 3 minutes.
Perfect.
Good. Control. Thank you, Peter.
It's a good idea.
May I suggest?
Brenda, compulsive overreader. October 17th. Intuition is supposed to be God's direct line into our minds and hearts. But our problems and our self-will have interfered with this connection. That's on the 12 and 12, page 22. Before OA, my tendency as a compulsive overeater was to eat because I had a list of resentments. And I was going to show you. When I'm overeating, overindulging in a culinary delight or binging, then I'm not present to win. I need to be present in my body and aware of circumstances and feelings. I am not aware of anything or anyone when I'm in the food. I have heard it said that silence is the only way we can hear God speak. To be present to hear God's message, I need to be willing to put away the food, fork, the spoon, and the hand, and the mouth. Sometimes God speaks to me in a silent meditation, through literature, or just by listening to someone at a meeting. I need to be open to receive the gift. Wow. I know a lot of folks around here think I'm really a whole heck of a lot spiritual, but you know, the truth is, it's been a struggle for me to get to a place where I can actually feel like I'm in contact with God. I don't do that silent meditation thing well at all, and it's really hard for me to sit alone sometimes with my thoughts. But I do very much appreciate literature writing and meetings, because I do get plenty of messages there. I'm going backwards at this, but the first part is using food to escape, and yeah, that was the MO, you know, and all that really did was keep me in the fog. You know, I don't remember. You know, I'm like, I would get into these places where, you know, that would be my answer. Because I was running away, and you know, I wasn't dealing well with whatever the conflict was, and I am not confrontational at all. So you know, because you know, it not with my peers, you know, like, you know, it was all right for me to be confrontational if I thought you were less than. But you know, if I felt like I might have the upper hand anyway, but otherwise I didn't. I was very judgmental, and I didn't jump into wars. You know, I ran away from them. So this is hiding, using the food to push down the feelings is what I used to do. But I'm really grateful, you know, it's like, you know, this corner that I turned here these last couple of months has been phenomenal. Like, I see God in everything. And so it's, even though I'm still not at this silent meditation part yet, it'll come with time. But the literature's been great, and the writings have really been giving me insight into who Brenda is. You know, I don't think that person's been for some odd years, but I'm getting to know me, and it's kind of cool. Anybody else want to share on?
Thanks for sharing, Brenda.
It's October 17th.
Hi, Lisa, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lisa.
And I love the statement, or the saying, it's, you know, God whispers in my ear. I heard you say that. My disease screams in my ear. Right. And because, you know, before OA, when I was eating compulsively, like, the thought of God and God's will for me, it had never crossed my mind. The only thing that crossed my mind is, where's the closest Quick Check? When can I get out of here? You know, I'm so fat. I'll go on a diet tomorrow. I gotta lose weight for this person. Or I gotta, you know, I have a wedding coming up. I don't fit in this dress anymore. I'm such a fat piece of blank. You know, I'm so stupid. It was just, you know, if you could hear my thoughts outside of my head, which is so abusive and so loud, and there was no room for any sort of God. There was no room for anything of, how could I be of service today? You know, like, yeah, that was the last thing I was thinking. It was more like, what can you do for me? And, but even in abstinence, if what has shut me, my compulsive overeater head down has been my food scale. Because when I use my food scale, it's black and white, and that's it. That's, I've eaten enough, I don't have to worry, should I eat too much, should I eat too little, am I too full? It's a science for me, and that's what works for me. That's what makes the compulsive overeater, your ear, like, be quiet. And, I'm just really grateful for that acceptance today. Because I've tried it a lot of times. I've tried not using my scale, but it's just too loud in my head. When I don't use my scale, when I'm not fully abstinent, for me, there's just too much noise going on. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Yes, we do.
I definitely was over here.
I definitely
Lisa, I never heard that, or maybe I didn't, I forgot it. God whispers in your ear, and my disease screams in my ear. I am a horrible person when I'm in the food, and there have been so many times that I have listened to the screams of my disease rather than the whispers of God. And I'm learning to, because, you know, when I'm in the food, I can't hear God because I drown it out with my chomping and all the noises in my head. And it's amazing because I could rationalize anything. I mean, I eat in ShopRite, I pick up some kind of candy, and of course, God forbid, I should wait until I actually paid for it because it was sitting there in my car. So I take a little piece, and we all know what my little piece leads to. And the truth is, as embarrassing as it is to admit, sometimes by the time I got to the cash register, I finished it. Now, it's pretty embarrassing to give an empty wrapper of some kind of candy that could have served four people, you know, to a cashier and say, could you scan this, please? Well, I would bless you. Sometimes I would hide it in my pocket, I'd put it under my pocketbook, and then be so afraid that, you know, maybe there's a camera and they'd catch me, and I'd be so embarrassed, and on and on and on. And the truth is that when I picked up that thing from the shelves, on some level, I knew I was going to open it and try it. And there was a part of me, which I never attributed to the God sound, but there was a part of me that said, no, don't do it. That's not the right thing to do. But my disease was screaming, and I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it, and I did it anyway. And now I'm really learning to listen to that voice. But I have to be quiet to listen to the voice. I have to be willing to listen to the voice. And willingness is one of those things I'm still struggling with, but I'm still working on it. So that's what caught me in that reading. The fact, you know, that voice is soft and it's low, and I've got to make room in my head, and I've got to stop with the eating, because that eating and, you know, my insanity, which comes while I eat, just drowns everything out. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Doris, a compulsive overeater. I just find with me, in my compulsive eating days, and I just heard kind of the same kind of thing that I'm thinking, if I wanted it, I took it. I mean, I there was a part of me that I'm entitled to it. It's there, why can't I have it? And I used, John's away, he left me again with these three kids, the hot water tank went, and I'm dealing with it, and he's calling me from San Diego, he's at the Hotel Coronado in his little white shorts, and he's having his hands still, and I'm Doris, how are you? And oh wait, we're in a... I can't say the word, but it starts with an F, if you know what I mean. I said, get home. And he's saying to me, now don't get so excited. Well, I mean, that, and you know, our basement, our top of the basement, it has no drains. So the hot water tank went, there's water like this. I had every kid in the neighborhood with towels cleaning it up. And guess what I did? I took them all out to dinner. We went to a Mexican restaurant. Get what you want. It's okay. And I charged it, you know, and of course John would have to pay for it when he came home. And it was always punishing him. Always punishing him. And when I came into the rooms, you know, I took that, I didn't know it was the first step, but it was the first step. The reality of it is, I'm a compulsive overeater. I use food in good times, bad times, mediocre times, not to the best. There was really, I used it as an excuse, but there was no excuse. And you know, that hole just wanted to be filled. Well, what happened when it got filled? Guess what? Started all over again, you know? And there was a part of me, I'm not as bad as. I didn't take laxatives. I didn't throw up. I'm not as big as all of that stuff. But the real reality is I don't look at food the same way, quote, the normies do out there. Is that all bad? I don't think so. Not since I found the program.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll show you. It's got to be regular one section here. Before OA, my tendency as compulsive overeater was to eat because I had a list of resentments. I was going to show you. Okay, and then it goes on and says, sometimes God speaks to me in silent meditation through the literature. So, thank you.
Sure. Well,
you don't
know everything.
Well, because
you can look
through everything.
I have a business. I'm trying to sell part of it. I mean, even so I've been dealing with it, it's been kind of dragging his feet. And just not, he's been bargaining, I guess, the way he's just, he wants to bargain, but I'm trying to control it. I built up some resentment because it's not moving forward. I want to get this thing moving forward. I went to bed last night at 10 o'clock. I was up late in bed until about 12 because I couldn't ever be agitated. This morning you read to me that God speaks to me in silent meditation and through literature. I realized, you know, I have resentment. I have to do a fourth step. I just can't do like that. So it's amazing sometimes where God speaks to you. I think I have to learn to be open to listening for it. That's what I'm learning. Thought it was easy, but I have to learn to be open to it sometimes more. Maybe share it.
Thanks for sharing.
Okay, let's see. Well, compulsive overeater, February 3rd. Okay, coming to believe was something that happened as we began taking actions which others told us had worked for them. Whether or not we believed these actions would work for us didn't seem to matter. Once we took the action and saw it work, we began to believe. From the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OOA. This is one of the secrets of the OA program. We cannot think ourselves into good action, but we can act ourselves into good thinking. Willingness to follow the suggestions of the program leads us to healing the wreckage of our lives and the ravages of this disease. I experienced the miracle of abstinence because I asked someone to sponsor me. I designed a practical nourishing food plan, excuse me, and I committed daily to following my plan and calling my sponsor. I experienced the healing bonds of fellowship because I attended meetings regularly and became involved in service. I experienced a spiritual awakening because I put all my doubts and fears aside and placed my reliance on a higher power and my own understanding instead of my distorted self-will. Cool. Wow. I know I read this before, but I guess I wasn't really here at the time. Well, I also read for today most of the time, so I skipped a lot of days of child voices for cover. We cannot think ourselves into good action, but we can act ourselves into good thinking. I fought this so much, and I continue ever so slightly to fight it. But, I came in and I just was not willing to do the work, to put down, well, when I first came in, I put down the food because it was a novelty, a new diet, blah, blah, lost 25 pounds, because when I had the chemo, you know, I put all this weight on. So that came off really quickly, and then the honeymoon was over, and I really had to do some work, and I was in no way ready to do this work. And I've been fighting it, no question about it. Just recently, I have to be aware, of course, to know how to fight it. And I've got a wonderful sponsor who reminds me ever so gently to become aware of things. And her favorite statement to me is, well, did you pray about it? And my usual answer is, oh, no, I didn't think of that. I am now really acting, well, I started acting as if a while ago. Now I'm finally getting to that point where I'm seeing the miracles. I'm absolutely seeing the miracles in my relationship with my son, in the relationship with my ex-husband, in all of my relationships, actually. I'm working on one with my daughter. She's the toughie. But there's been a big change. And when I'm disappointed in something, I let somebody know. I set my boundaries. I do what needs to be done. And so I'm seeing results. So the acting as if is really starting to translate into, this really is true. I mean, this is how I want to act. I do believe in a higher power, finally. I always believed in God, but I never believed in God in relation to me. And I see now. I have a God of my understanding, and I am definitely working on the program. I'm reading, I'm writing, maybe not as often as I should, but I'm definitely getting there. And I'm experiencing the miracle of abstinence, and thank you, that's all I got.
We have about maybe another 12 minutes, and since there's two, four, why don't we just each read our verbal, and the individual share.
Thank you so much. Wait a minute, the individual share? I thought everybody else shared? Well, does anybody want to just go? Abby, compulsive overeater. January 12th. Each morning brings a new surrender, a new admission of powerlessness, and a new commitment to abstinence through steps 1, 2, and 3. It is a quiet time, a new beginning, a new day. From page 69 of the Lifeline Sandler. How am I going to spend today? Will I waste it by looking at my past mistakes or by daydreaming about what the future may hold? Living in today is often difficult. Once I let go of yesterday and tomorrow, I can live today to its fullest. Planning and dreaming will not change what my higher power has in store for me tomorrow, so I will turn that over and rest in the knowledge that I will be taken care of. This frees me to accept the gift of the present. It is what I do today that really matters. I can only be happy by spending today gratefully accepting who I am, what I have, and what I can do in this moment to better myself. Today will eventually become tomorrow without my worrying or interfering with my higher power's plans. Let me live as if tomorrow is just another word in the dictionary. Let me live in today. I really don't know how to share on this. As I said before, I'm new in the program, and I've been reading for today. I don't really analyze it so much. So I read something, and I think I have a learning disability because it takes a while before it sinks in, and I actually can understand the words that I'm reading rather than just reading words and not understanding it. So I'm really not sure how to share, because I probably have to sit and read this paragraph over and over, before I was able to make any sense out of it. However, I have been, it has been posted out to me, miraculously, I have to accept who I am, and realize that I'm not a terrible person. I am a person with character defects that I need to learn, I need to understand, and I need to change. And that's what this program is all about. You know, it's about learning self-acceptance. It's about working on your fourth step, which I had a conversation about this morning, getting to understand a little bit more. And realizing what my part is in it, and taking whatever steps are required in order to, you know, get past that and become the person that I know I can be. That's
relationship with our higher power in the same way you might develop any relationship, by taking the time on a regular basis to be with higher power. The 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 92. Do I check in? When I'm in a decision-making process or mode, do I run it by my higher power before taking action? Do I pray? Do I listen? Using a mental alarm clock, I will set aside a specific time to check in with my higher power during my day. I got here, in parentheses, desperate, eating compulsively. Desperate is, anyway, by doing things on my own. I stay here abstaining by fostering relationships with my higher power and my OA members. When I first came in, my higher power was my sponsor. There was no question about that. And before I came in, my higher power was food. I never looked at it that way, but the longer I was in the program, that's what it was. And then as I got, I was one of those people that came in and I got my abstinence right away. And you know, I'm not saying this to new people that's how it has to be. That's how it worked for me. But no one really knows, except my higher power and me, that I was at the right place at the right time. and I wanted, I just wanted, please, somebody just pick me up and do it for me, you know? But I knew that it was work, and it is work. There's no question about it. It's not any different than working at my relationship with my husband, and we've been married 55 years. There's still stuff going on, you know? The things I've learned, and they're probably extremely thankful, I step aside, and they have their own higher power. And that doesn't mean that I don't set boundaries with them. I love them unconditionally. And I've got one that lives in Wisconsin, and I probably love him a little more than I do the two who are here. But that's always been the one that's the sickest or the one that's furthest away. But the higher power, that's a very, very new thing for me. And to, and I do meditate in the morning. I, my life is, there's just John and me and Bailey, the dog, you know? I don't know how I would have been if the kids had been still at home. I don't have to go there. It is what it is, you know? This program, you know, just opened so many doors for me. I have another addiction or whatever, and I got help for both of them. And it just amazes me that this program has just worked for me. And I just want to tell anybody that's still struggling, just keep coming back, because it works if you work it. And that's the bottom line.
Thanks. And then here I am. I'm Lisa, a compulsive reader. September 15th. If we want to live free of the killing disease of compulsive eating, we accept help without reservation from a power greater than ourselves, the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. This sentence reminds me first that compulsive overeating is ultimately a killing disease. So many times I have denied its seriousness because it wasn't immediately fatal. But when I look back on the years I practiced compulsive overeating, I see how I always took the path in life that allowed me to most easily continue to practice the disease. In the meantime, the quality of my life diminished and I gradually gave up on myself and my dreams. Accepting help without reservation brings to mind a story about what you would do if accidentally buried alive. Immediately upon awakening, you would try to save yourself by your own devices, pushing and yelling. But then, as the compulsive overeater who hits bottom, you would reach the point of complete desperation. You would cease to care whether God was called God, higher power, or great spirit. You would care only that this power was greater than yourself, and you would finally pray and accept help without reservation. Wow. I was thinking that I didn't like this one. I think it's the fourth today that I don't like my birthday that much. Whenever I get to it, I'm always disappointed, like, man, why is my birthday not a good one? This is a really good one. So I feel blessed. I know this is going to sound, all people say, oh, I'm grateful for compulsive overeater. Well, I feel blessed about something that's very negative in my family, in that my grandfather died from compulsive overeating. He was morbidly obese, and he wasn't supposed to eat a certain binge food, which happens to be my favorite binge food, and he locked himself in the bathroom with the binge food. My grandmother was knocking out, Sherman, what are you doing in there? And he choked to death on it, and because he was shoving it in so fast, and he choked, may have had a heart attack, you're not sure, but that's, died in the bathroom with, spoon and butter, and my mother is also a compulsive overeater, and it's, for me, when I came in, by the time I came in, it was about the weight, it was vanity, it was, I want to look good in dresses, and I want to, attract a boyfriend and things like that, but it was also just this deep knowing that I'm going to die. If I don't take care of this disease, I'm going to die physically, because I didn't eat, like I said, when I came in too, it had nothing to do with emotions, it had nothing to do with spirituality, it was, I'm 23 years old, I'm 245 pounds, I have a disease called PCOS where my ovaries are shutting down, I have acne up the wazoo, I'm growing a beard, and I'm going bald. And so I mean, like, physically, I think I knew how serious this disease was. Because the other part too about, like, my mom being a compulsive overeater, my brother is a heroin addict, and it has been for 11 years now, and it was just always easy for me to see that you know, yes, it is two very different diseases, but it's really, the core of it is the same disease. And I would look at it like, you know, my brother is killing himself with a steak knife, like he's going right for his heart, but my mom is killing herself with a spoon. It's like a slower death. And like I said, the immediacy of the disease, immediately upon awakening, I don't know, it didn't say it there. Oh, because it wasn't immediately fatal. And I think that's part of the problem with compulsive overeating sometimes is, like, I would view it as, oh, it's just a couple extra pounds. It's just a couple. But, you know, look around today, and I see that most of the people, like diabetes and heart disease, like, they're the number one killers. They're the number one killers. And honestly, it's not heart disease. It's not diabetes. It's compulsive overeating. That's what it is. And I just feel, and I think that that's, you know, people say to me, oh, you're so lucky that you got it so young. It's not that I was lucky, it's that I was that desperate. You know, I heard somebody, there's a newcomer who's been in a bunch of the meetings here, and I love hearing her share, because she got it right away, because she was that desperate. You know, and I just feel so, I feel grateful for that desperate feeling I had, because that desperate feeling made me willing to do whatever it took. And I did whatever my sponsor told me to do, and I did it, and I've had recovery because of that desperate willingness. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing.
You want to keep that here? 1902.
Okay, September 12th. Your name is Ellen, very grateful for possible being here.
Hi, you're welcome.
The other days when I drove my car to a junk food place, with one hand on the steering wheel and the other pushing something out of a bag, I was lucky I had had an accident. If driving while intoxicated with food were an offense, I would have been followed countless times. Many times I have recognized the insanity of my behavior. The admission that I have a problem with eating is the beginning of my willingness to recover. I am powerless over food and over my eating habits. I learned in Overeaters Anonymous that my powerlessness is the bedrock on which I can build a new life. Weakness is the glue that binds me to others in this program, and I can accept that I need help even after I have abstained from compulsive eating for years, which is what keeps me coming back to meetings, because it's part of the lifeline of keeping myself well. Listening to newcomers that walk in the door, that's me walking in the door. And sometimes people cry because it's just, first of all, they get to out the door in the car to come here. That is so huge. That is really big. And then they get here and they sit down and they see all these smiles of welcome. They would beat that. You know, the person walks in, he's like smiling. And they're so sad inside. And then when they start to listen and hear, and sometimes share, very rare a newcomer shares, but it just fills my heart, because that's me, you know? And I never want to forget that. I never want to become ever so jaded that I think I got it made. Because that's not how it works. That's why it's one day at a time. And so every morning when I wake up, what's better than that? I woke up. So, one more day. And then I like, too, the way everything gets done, the way we do get together, and people talk, and it's not a social club, and yet everything about it is social, because everybody likes each other's company, you know. We join in, and it's very hard for new people to get part of it. That's what I like about our meeting, where everybody's invited. When we go to lunch, everybody's invited. And right away, they learn names of people that they're part of. So, you see, recovery is such a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, May 17th. This is my birthday present to myself this whole weekend.
Aww.
It's good.
Okay, once we compulsive overeaters truly take the third step, we cannot fail to recover. 12 steps, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. At one plateau in my recovery from compulsive desire to overeat, I felt stuck, as if a quicksand were sucking me down, smothering me in my compulsivity. The difference between steps 4 and 5 were confusing me. I didn't realize that step 4 was between my God and me, and that step 5 represented my higher power's permission to let go in private confidence to a friend. I had been spilling my 4th step for 4 months ago, but couldn't figure out why I felt stuck. I approached a sponsor with my dilemma. He granted me a private session in which he wisely tugged on an imaginary rope that would eventually guide me out of the self-made quicksand. He listened patiently, allowing me to ramble to exhaustion. Then his soft words tugged gently at my rope, telling me to take another look at my 3rd step. I left in a dither, eager to find another sponsor. I schemed for a week, and one day I picked up my OA 12 and 12 and started reading step 3. When I read the line mentioned above, things clicked. I felt at peace. Those words became my promise. I began working on the 3rd step again. Thanks to a wise sponsor and my higher power, my recovery resumed. Boy, is that the truth. I am working very hard on the 3 steps because I feel that that is the essence of my program. It's taken me a long time to come to the conclusion that I'm powerless, and it's taken me even a longer time to come to the conclusion that I need to turn my will and my life over. I have no control, and I need someone who does have control, and that individual who has all control is my higher power. And, you know, I've always been one to go along for the ride, and this is a perfect opportunity to go along for the ride. So, you know, it says here, once a compulsive overeater is to truly take the 3rd step, we cannot fail to recover. I thought I had taken the 3rd step at one point. But I really didn't because I took a scenic route. I treated OA as a diet and not as a plan of action or a plan to live by. And I believe now by turning over my life, I have a plan. And it's not mine. It's my higher power's plan. And it's something that I can truly follow. And I do feel a little stuck, but now I believe but by turning things over, I can unstick myself and get out of that quicksand. And that grabbing my sponsor's hand is going to help me do that. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much for participating. I'd like to close with a dance prayer.
All right.